is moving very slow, but I got it to work.
Okay. I'm not sure what's...
And the meeting for next week is fine. That one's working fine.
I know that whenever Krishna or I erase those flash drives, we always scan them to make sure. Hi, is that Dr. Davidson?
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Davidson. So I believe we're just waiting for Dr. Davey. All other committee members are on the phone, and we also have Ms. Jones, Ms. Fowkes, and Ms. Galvin in the board office.
Okay.
Oh, is that Dr. Davey?
Yes, this is Dr. Davey.
Great.
So all committee members are on the phone.
So can we call this meeting to order?
Yes.
Please.
Ms. Fowkes, can we have a roll call?
Yes. Dr. Davidson?
Here.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Here.
Dr. Rates?
Here.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Here.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone on the phone or in person, any member of the public who wishes to address this committee?
Mr. Chairman, not that we're aware of.
Okay. All right, that was item number three. Item number four, approval of minutes. We have, at first, we have the regular session minutes from January 7th, 2019. And I have a motion to approve.
Mr. Chair, I am recused from the approval of the minutes, executive and regular.
Okay, thank you.
This is Dr. Davey. I'll make a motion to accept those notes.
Oh, thank you. Can we have a second?
This is Dr. Stenhoff. I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Minutes approved.
Yeah, we need to take a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
So we have a motion to approve the regular session minutes. We have a second minutes of January 7th, 2019. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion approved. I need to recuse myself from the next, the executive session minutes, because I don't have them.
Mr. Chairman, this is Ms. Jones. May I just make a recommendation that we've had some problem with the getting those minutes to everyone. Could we possibly move items B, C, and D to next month's meeting?
That makes sense to me. Anybody have any concerns with that?
No.
Okay. Let's do that. Thank you. All right. That leads us to item five, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendations to the board pertaining to the approval of behavior analyst applicants. We have nine applicants this time. The first applicant is Adina Serba, and I will take the lead on that. Members of the committee, this application is for Adina Serba. Ms. Serba attended University of Phoenix from 11 of 2007 to 7 of 2009, and earned a master's in education and the Florida Institute of Technology from July of 2016 through March of 2018 and completed a verified course sequence in applied behavior analysis. She received 1,500 hours of supervised experience under the supervision of Michael Vale at Autism Spectrum Therapies from July 2016 to July of 2018. Ms. Serva was certified as a BCBA in November of 2018. I did not note any concerns with this application, and I would recommend that it be forwarded to the board for approval. Are there any concerns or questions from other committee members? Okay. Hearing no concerns, this application will be forwarded for approval. The next application we have is for Ann Scott. Dr. Davey, would you summarize her application for us? Dr. Davey, are you there?
I'm talking into my muted phone. I just had some brilliant things I just said in that 30 seconds.
Usually the case.
Yeah, that's how it always happens. No witness. So this is the application of Ann Scott. I received her initial degree from Fordham University in education, early childhood special education, then went on to work at Hunter College to obtain her coursework for becoming a behavior analyst. She worked through that program and received supervision at the Manhattan Behavioral Center in New York. This is the individual who went ahead and signed off on the supervision as well. Supervision occurred from April 17 to June of 18. Shortly after that, this individual did receive her BCBA. Her application was completed. The only minor thing I noted is under other certificates, she did not note that her early childhood certificate was in, it was hard to, actually I should just say it's hard to read that that's New York, number 8, New York Early Childhood Special Education Certificate, and I think staff pulling that, otherwise I would not have known that she actually had that, so good job on that. The question I have is related to what staff provided with regards to the Office of Professions. Other than that, I just wanted some clarification on why that was provided and what their thoughts were behind that. It appears to be a name that matches the supervisor, if I'm correct, in there, but it does not appear to maybe be the same individual. So, staff, did you want to comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, this is Kathy. The New York online verification system is a two-step process. They have the license, and then you have to go to their disciplinary list to see if the licensee was disciplined. And so I was providing that to show that she had not been disciplined.
Okay. I was like, thank you very much. I was trying to track it down. I'm like, all right, why am I getting this? Am I missing a name change somewhere? Or I believe, actually, there is a name that matches on our supervisor. So thank you for clarifying that. And lesson for us as we move forward. The individual that signed off on supervision was certified as a BCBA and as an LBA in the state of New York during the supervision period. And so I have no concerns.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Other committee members, any questions or concerns about this application? Okay, hearing none. This application will also be forwarded to the board for approval. Next application is for Catherine Hoyle, and Dr. Davis Wilson, will you take the lead on that, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So Catherine Hoyle is... Oh,
I'm sorry if I can interrupt. I just want to make known that this applicant does work for my agency, but I don't work with them and don't feel that I have a need to recuse myself.
Thank you, Dr. A.
Perfect. So this applicant is applying for initial licensure. She recently passed her exam. She did her coursework at the University of Florida. She graduated with a special education degree with an emphasis in applied behavior analysis. She completed over 1,500 hours with Brett Seymour at SARC. That 1,500 hours was done. I'm having a hard time reading the PDF, but it appears to be from October of 2016 to June of 2018. And I have no questions or concerns with this application.
Thank you. Other committee members, any questions or concerns about this application? Okay, hearing none, this application will be forwarded to the full board for approval. Next application is for Mary Hill. Dr. Race, will you give us a summary, please?
Yes, and again, I will note that this individual does work at my agency, but I have not had any contact with them, so I feel comfortable moving forward. This application is for Mary Hill. She received her master's at University of West Florida in December of 2017. She completed her supervision between April of 17 and June of 2018 for a total of 1,500 hours. She did this across four separate supervisors at SARC, all who were licensed at the time. I did not have any concerns with this application.
Thank you. Other committee members, any questions or concerns about this application? All right, hearing none, this application will be forwarded to the full board for approval. The next applicant is Rodrigo Mendoza. I will summarize this for the committee.
Mr. Chairman. go ahead, and I'll chime in after you're done.
Okay. Dr. Rates, I will need to recuse myself as I provided supervision for this individual.
Thank you.
And this is Dr. Stenhoff. I just want to go on record that I was his professor, but I don't feel the need to recuse myself from this.
Okay. Thank you. So we still have four voting members. We still have a quorum. Thank you. Mr. Mendoza attended ASU between July 25th of 2016 and May 7th of 2018, earned a master's in psychology with the emphasis on ABA. He received 1,765 hours of supervision under multiple supervisors in multiple settings, including Dr. Rage, Dr. Taylor Rosenberger, Emily Mariner, Karina Mendolo, Valerie Smith, Transition Academy, Orion Care, Young Mind Center, St. Dominic Savio, for 1,765 hours, I said. He became certified as a BCBA in October of 2018. And I do not know any concerns with this application. I would recommend that it be forwarded to the board for approval. Are there concerns or questions from other members of the committee? Okay. Hearing no concerns, this application will also be forwarded to the full board for approval. Next application is for Sarah Tackett, Dr. Davis Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would like to let the committee know that Sarah Tackett did complete her supervision program through the program that I had developed and oversaw with my former employer. However, it was towards the end of my transition, and I therefore did not have any work-related or personal correspondence with her outside of meeting her on one occasion. So I am comfortable proceeding with this application. Sarah Tackett completed her master's degree in 2016 in special education from Northern Arizona University. She also completed the positive behavior support program, giving her the necessary coursework for certification. She did complete over 1,500 hours with three licensed supervisors, Adeline Lowe, Jessica Reidberg, and Debbie Villa. And that was done between the periods of March of 2017 and September of 2018. I, at this time, do not see any problems with her application, and I recommend it for full board.
Thank you. Other committee members, any concerns or questions about this application? Hearing none. This application will also be forwarded to the full board for approval. Thank you. The next application we have is for Sharan Aziman. Dr. Rates, can you summarize for us?
Yes. So Sharan completed a graduate degree in applied behavior analysis in 2017 at Bay Path University. She indicated she had 1,500 hours of supervised experience through the May Institute. The only concern that I had is in reviewing the supervision forms, I believe she may have submitted one form twice. In looking at the dates of the different forms, I only come to 1,320 hours. So I'm not sure if we need to follow up and receive documentation of those additional hours. Unless I'm missing one, if somebody else was able to catch that. But in looking through the forms and the dates, I'm only seeing 1,320 hours.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I did look through these, and I thought I counted 1,680, but honestly, I was going to leave it up to you to make sure that I did my math right. Has anyone else looked at this and looked at those hours to make sure that the various supervised experience forms, if we don't count duplications, that we're 1,500 or above? If not, I think we should do this now.
Okay. So if I may, I can add, if you look on page 12, you will see scans of two forms. And what I'm finding is that the top form seems to be duplicated as you scroll down in terms of the dates. So if you then go to page 14, I believe you'll see the dates match as well as the hours. So the 10/24/2016
to 10/25/2017
seems to be a replication of the very first one that we see in a scan on page 12.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Rates, the email is the proof that we received it from the supervisor, and those two images are not actually, I couldn't take them out of the email, and so they weren't really supposed to be considered as part of it. I later, after I printed the email, I also printed the attachments, and so there are four from Dr. Fournier. One is February 2016 to June 2016, one is June 2016 to October 2016. The third is October 2016 to February 2017, and then the fourth is February 2017 to June It should have probably been 2018, but it looks like the BCBA accepted it as it was indicated there. But it's February 2017 to June 2017, which doesn't really make sense.
Sure.
Oh, I guess it's okay.
Those were the four that I documented. When I added those up, I came to that 1320. So I'm wondering if perhaps we are missing a form.
We look at page 8 on the PDF, and we have, we have a form signed by Kristen for 360 hours.
There it is. Thank you for that.
Okay. And that doesn't duplicate any of the foreign document. So I've got 360 plus 180 plus 480 plus 480 plus 180, and I come up with 1680.
Great.
And if I'm wrong, I'm going to blame my phone.
No, I think you're right on that. I was not including this form here on page 8.
Okay. Are there any other concerns about this application?
I had none other.
Other committee members? Hearing none. This application will also be forwarded to the full board. Recommendation for approval. Thank you. The next application is for Susan Lomnitz. And Dr. Rates, would you summarize this one?
Yes. So Susan received her master's at ASU in August of 2016. She completed supervision at MARC Community Resources starting in June of 2017 for the full amount, and she did that between two supervisors, both who were licensed at the time. And I did not have any concerns with this application.
Thank you. Other committee members, any questions or concerns about this application? Hearing none, this application will also be forwarded to the full board with a recommendation for approval. Our last application is for Tina Zhu. Dr. Stenhouse, can you summarize this one, please?
Sure, yeah. Ms. Zhu graduated with her master's of psychology from California Coast University in May of 17. She received her AVA coursework for certification from the Florida Institute of Technology in 2016 and received a total of 1,540 hours of supervision under Elizabeth Sheff. She became a BCBA in August of 2017. I noted a couple of concerns that I had reviewing the application. The first is the supervised practicum experience began in July 3rd of 2016 and ended in June 3rd of 2017, which is approximately 48 weeks. And with a quick computation using the 48 weeks, if she received the minimum supervision of 1,500 hours, she would have received an average of 31.25 hours per week, which is an hour and a quarter above what is allotted by the BACB. But extending that out, her hours were recorded to be 1,540 hours. If that's divided by the 48 weeks, is an average of 32 hours a week, which is 2 hours a week over allotted by the BACB. And then also on the other issue I noticed was on page 8 of the application materials. On number 9, the supervisor indicated that she was licensed in California, but I don't believe that California has licensure at this time, and so there may need to be a revision on the application for that.
Thank you. I also noted that on page 3, number 19, did you complete at least 270 classroom hours? She didn't check any of those on that application. Are there other concerns or questions from other members about this application?
Mr. Chair, just to Dr. Stenhoff's point, number 20, it does ask if you completed it in no less than 12 months. She does answer yes to that, so yes. That will also need to be reconsidered as well.
Thank you. So number 19 wasn't answered. Number 20 was answered yes when it should be no, because in fact it was less than 12 months, as Dr. Stenhoff pointed out. And page 8, number 9, supervisor was not licensed in California. California doesn't license supervisors, doesn't license behavior analysts. So is this a situation where we would send her a letter or a phone call, or what do you recommend?
Mr. Chair, because of the discrepancy in supervision, I believe that in the past we have done a letter requesting a written explanation regarding the discrepancy.
That makes sense to me. Any other concerns with this application? Any questions from board staff? Okay. So hearing none, we recommend that we send a letter to Ms. Vu about these discrepancies and forward. Can I have a motion to forward the other applicants to the full board recommending approval?
This is Brian. So moved.
And I'll second that, Diana.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And we note that Dr. Rates recused herself from Rodrigo Mendoza. Okay. Thank you all. The next item on the agenda is item number 6, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding update to the behavior analyst application, question number 21, to conform to the language in our revised statutes, R426402.2C2. Ms. Jones,
Mr. Chairman, this is Kathy. We noted.
Hi,
Kathy. Hi. We noted that the language regarding supervised work experience in the rules had changed, and this question 21 on the. It's the application. I noticed that the wording was quite different after you had already approved the application. So I went in and showed it to Ms. Jones, and we agreed to change the language and update the application to match the rules and then show it to you. This is already available to the behavior analysts, but we wanted you also to see it and approve it.
Okay.
then I would be looking at the new rule effective 12/12/2018, correct?
Correct.
Simplified expense requirements 404.2. So one of the questions, one of, that I have for the group is the difference between, you know, what happens if, is there a situation where any of this language here, under 21, is required or implied that it's required in this application, such as 21C, did the experience include designing, implementing, and monitoring skill acquisition and behavior reduction programs? And then the option is yes or no. What happens when someone checks no? Because is it required that they do all of that, or is it, as according to the Behavior Analyst Certification Board, that it's strongly encouraged that they design, implement, systematically monitor skill acquisition and behavior reduction programs? I know that the language of the one below it is, did the experience include overseeing the implementation of behavior analytic programs, which could include skill acquisition or behavior reduction? The one above it requires that it be both skill acquisition and behavior reduction. That's the kind of the nature of my question here for the committee. So does the rule specify that they must do both?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, this is Heather, and if you look at the rule, it's R42644.2 subsection 2C, C2. It does outline the appropriate activities for supervised experience, and it says the board shall accept for the purpose of licensure hours of supervised experience that demonstrate participation in supervised experiences with various populations at various sites with multiple supervisors and including all of the following activity areas. C indicates overseeing implementation, yes. So it is in rule.
I see it there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. So what we did in writing these rules is we took what the ACB standards are, as strongly encouraged, and we made them required.
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure that the BACB I will have to look that up, but I'm not sure that the BACB verbiage is optional. I believe they also require the same standard.
Yeah, I'm looking at the experience standards for the monthly experience system. So this is the latest. So it is possible that it was required in an earlier version that defined the experience standards, and now it's simply strongly encouraged. It's a moot point at this point. I mean, because it is in our rules, we must, that's what we have to honor. That slipped past me because I'm not in favor of adding more requirements unless we see, we as a committee in Arizona, that we see a need for doing that.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is Diana again. I agree with you. I would just like to remind the committee of the timeline just because the standards that we wrote here for these specific rules were done actually originally in 2014. They got approved in December of 2018. The standards that you're looking at are new as of January 1st, 2019. So I do think that at the time that we did the rules, we were in alignment. The good thing is because 2014 was the last actual like rule cycle, we are coming up on a five-year review. And so I do think that it's something that's very notable for us to be able to look at because the monthly system has various changes that that we didn't plan for in the 2014 rule writing. So I agree with you there. I just don't, I don't think it was an overlook. I think it's just the way the time, the standards and timing have kind of fallen in the process.
Well, that makes me feel better because I poured over various versions of the rules and various versions of the behavior analyst experience standards, and frankly, it's been tough to try to keep up with everything and juggle them. Any other concerns or questions about the revised application as we're looking at it?
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at the rules here. It's a, I think it might be an issue of interpretation. So I'm looking at C2 and just the language. The board shall accept for purposes of licensure hours of supervised experience, but it doesn't, I don't read that it mandates that you have to do all of those pieces. It just says it'll accept, including all the following. So are those all the following options for the acceptance, or is the acceptance contingent on all those following being met?
It would suggest that those options set forth in A and E are required. There could be others, but at a minimum, A through E have to be included.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so what if, to back to my question, if somebody answered in our application, page 5, number 21, letter C, that the experience includes designing, implementing, and monitoring skill acquisition and behavior reduction programs. If they answered that no, what would be our responsibility as a committee?
Mr. Chair, I think that for the time being, if we see an answer no to that, I think that that falls outside of the BACB standards as well. Because like I said, the new standards just went into effect. They were optional as of April, but we really shouldn't have anybody coming through the licensing process right now that would answer no to that. It would apply to, and I believe those supervision standards have a date, like the education standards, I'll look those, but I think that we have this interesting opportunity, I think, to review the rules and align it in a way that it shouldn't affect people in the future, just because, like I said, the people that are, you know, sitting for their exam even this cycle and next cycle would have fallen under the previous supervision standards.
Yeah, and I don't have those in front of me. And so if you do, and you're seeing that, no, if both are required in the older supervision requirement, just help me find them so I have them. And that's what we need to do. I get that. But if they're not, if it is the old requirement, do not delineate that both has to happen, then that was the nature of my question. But if you're saying they do, the old standards do in fact require that, then we would, as a committee, we would possibly send a letter asking the person for further to explain further, to recite our rule. person, and I guess what I'm asking is, would the applicant have an opportunity to explain that no answer to us?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, this is Heather. Historically, yes. When a question on a supervision form or an application is answered either yes or no and there's a discrepancy, the committee would send a request for additional information or clarification. It could have been just something, an oversight of, you know, that either the supervisor or the applicant, you know, as they're going through the application, just answered incorrectly and it was an accident. So yes, typically that would be the committee's recommendation, is to just send a letter requesting clarification or additional information. And you know, it's also too that they could have additional experience, supervised experience, that they could submit too. So
sure, yeah. And I know we'll deal with that when we come across. I didn't mean to take up our time with hypotheticals here. Just that this was something I noted, and I wanted to make sure that we were in fact following our own rules, and it seems like we are doing that with this application.
And now, when it comes up in the future, the committee will know.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair and committee or board staff, is there a way to clarify that B through F actually wouldn't apply if their supervision experience was done before January 1st, 2015? Because that could also be what's kind of something Dr. Davidson, is that there was there's been this awkward period from 2015 until 2019, where the BACB has changed standards, but prior to 2015, no standards weren't in place. And so we have in there that B through F would only apply if they did their standards prior to that date, correct? I just want to make sure, because it agrees as if it's required regardless of when they did their supervision standards, but I'm not sure that that's how the rule reads.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Davis-Wilson, this is Jenna. We could look at doing a substantive policy statement to correct that or to clarify it, explain it.
Could it be in the application? So in the previous 21, from the old application, it read that did you do your experience prior to January 1st, 2000 as the very first question? And if the answer was no, the rep for NA, could we do the application the same way, where if the answer is yes, they did do it prior, the rep would all be NA? Because I think it's an application, but I think the rule is clear in that it does say supervised experience requirement. A, application of this section. The section does not apply to an individual who is certified by the BACB with at least 1,500 hours of supervised experience before January 1st, 2015. So number 21 is really asking questions directed toward just those certified after 2015.
This is Jean Galvin. If you look at 404.2,
the way, looking at 404.2A, 1 and 2 reading together, it looks like regardless, you have to complete the 1,500 hours.
Correct, and that's actually in statute. But I believe that the question is, did you do the experience prior to 2015 or not? You still have to do 1,500 hours. But if you did the experience prior to 2015, then the rest of the section, so B, that looking at that same statute, B and D would not apply. You're essentially grandfathered in if you did your 1,500 hours prior to 2015. Okay.
So long as you...
You're essentially grandfathered in supervision.
Does not apply. Okay.
I see that, yeah. I would agree.
I like that clarification. If we can make it done, we can make it work, and it flows in the application, easy to follow.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
So I've got a question regarding, it would be C on the application. How tightly defined is that section by the BACB, and how tightly defined, if there has been any additional definition, is that requirement, or what does it look like?
Are you, Dr. Stenoff, are you referring to question number 21?
Yes, 21C, yeah.
I don't recall seeing that it's tightly defined.
And does the BACB clearly define what skill acquisition, skill acquisition behavior reduction programs look like?
Dr. Davis Wilson, did you?
Mr. Chair, no. The expectations of the BACB during that time period in which those exact sections were applied, the expectation was that was decided upon by the supervisor developing the curriculum. So it is an expectation of supervisors to be using a curriculum that has outcome measures specific to the fourth edition task list. All of those concepts are in the fourth edition task list. But the definition of competency has been left up to the supervisor. So I believe that the intent of that section at the time that it was written was that contracts would be in place and supervisors would be attesting to their curriculum. Therefore, if it were to be questioned whether or not somebody had adequate experience, that would be able to be investigated by the BACB on an as-needed basis specific to the qualifications of the supervisor meeting the BACB standards, and the documentation of supervision. But it was never defined as like every person needs to meet X, Y, and Z, and this is skill acquisition versus behavior reduction. That was to be defined by the supervisor.
Okay. And then my follow-up question to that is 21C answered independently from the BACB application. Response is a response from the applicant, not from the supervisor, correct?
I believe this is the applicant's section. This is the applicant's section of the application itself.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm working towards is there appears to be some flexibility in the response. So if they did answer no, I would almost argue that behavior analysts working with any behavior that we're actually engaging in these activities, regardless of the spirit of this, we're still engaging in that. So it's possible where this may cause some problems. There's also some flexibility because of the lack of definition of what that exactly entails.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Stenhoff, I agree. There's flexibility, and I think understanding the intent of why this specification was added in there, they were getting an influx of applicants that were doing direct care only, becoming certified, and then taking on supervisory roles. And so I do agree that there would be that flexibility. If you didn't do one of these, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not qualified. It means that we as a committee would need additional documentation to support your qualifications moving forward. Because I agree with you 100%, but I also understand the intent as to why the BACB released those standards.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So back to the possible moving of items in this application, particularly on page 5, following up with Dr. Davis Wilson's recommendation or question, is it possible that 21B through F could fall something that would only need to be answered if the supervised work experience was completed after 2015. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, that's correct. I think we can work on rewording that to fix that and make it clear.
Okay. Thank you. Any other suggestions or questions about the application packet?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, this is Diana again. I did want to remind you guys, specific to your concerns, we have received answers of no on those questions before in the application, specifically because the supervisor form has that same information. And the way that we handled it was a review of the information. And basically what we had found was that some of that experience was supervisor and site specific. And that they went and, you know, expanded their experience by getting more supervision at different sites. So we have had that issue come up, and I just wanted to bring that back as kind of a reminder that we have had similar issues addressed in the committee before.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, this is Heather. We will also update the supervised verification form to reflect
and
the change.
How what do you have in mind, Heather? How would you revise that?
So if you look at the supervised verification form, it does ask those same questions that question number 21 on the application asks, and we updated the application, but we have not yet updated the supervision form. So we would just update it to match what the application is asking.
Okay. And that would also reflect that prior to and after January 1, 2015?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or concerns or recommendations? Thank you for catching this. Thank you for taking the initiative to do this. And thank you to all for your detailed attention to these matters. Do we need a motion on this application?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, it would just be a consensus is fine. And then we'll bring it back with a revision next month.
Okay, thank you. So, item number 7, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the board's 5-year rule review.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, committee members, this is Ms. Jones. So, this month we received a notice, I'm sorry, it was in January, we're already in February. We received a notice from the Governor's Rule and Regulatory Council. They're the group that oversee and approve all rules, that we are due for a 5-year rule review. I thought we would be exempt on the behavior analyst part just because we had just finished that rule package, but I guess they're in reviewing it in total, there are rules outside of the 2-year time frame that would give us an exemption for being subject to the 5-year rule review. So, in other words, we're going to have to do a 5-year rule review on the behavior analyst rules, and I'll be sending you a form of questions and issues that we have to respond to for each rule. I will get that out to you this afternoon, and we just need to, as a committee, work through the rules and see if there are any that you wish to allow to expire or identify ones that possibly have issues or changes need to be made. The 5-year rule review is not making the changes, it's just identifying whether the rules meet these certain qualifications. So I didn't want the board or the committee, I'm sorry to be surprised when I sent this email out with the substance of the questions that we need to respond to in response to the five-year rule review. So I just wanted to give you an overview today and tell you that I would like to place that on the next committee agenda so we can start working through that process.
Thank you. So from us, you would ask that we answer those questions, send information in advance of our next meeting when we start that process? Or would the next meeting kick off that process?
You would want, and this is Jean Galvin, just so we don't have a violation of the open meeting law, Jenna will send you those questions, ask you to prepare in advance, but then submit your responses to Jenna, you know, at the time of the meeting and be prepared to discuss what your recommendations are with respect to the five-year review. We can't undertake that discussion via email outside of an open meeting. But she can, is providing you those questions in advance so you can start thinking about it.
Okay. So come prepared to discuss or answer and send our answers to Jenna so she has them as we discuss.
Correct.
Yes.
But don't share them with other committee members.
You may send them to me.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. Any other questions about that process? And I presume we're going to add that to the next round. Well, sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Any other questions about that process?
Mr. Chair, I do have a question for board staff. As we go through the review, I mean, as far as what we know about upcoming standards in 2022, there's a high likelihood that rule writing is something that we're going to have to go back into. What time frame? I know that there's time frames around that. At what point should we be expecting or prepared to have the conversation about the rule writing? Because I think that given the abrupt changes that were made this last year, and then we do have a list of changes that are being made for 2022, I just want to make sure that we're prepared and kind of ahead of the game so that we don't have any awkward rules that are difficult to interpret with the other standards.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Davis-Wilson, if we have rules that are going into effect from the BACB area, you're saying those standards are changing, we would need to probably start those in 2021. It's about a six-month process for rules. But considering this, there were a lot of changes by the BACB before, if I remember correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, there were a lot of changes and modifications along the way. If we do a rule change at this point, anticipating what they may or if I'm understanding you correct, I don't think right now is the time to do the change. Plus, we need to get through this five-year rule review before we make any changes. Am I answering your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I hesitate waiting to 2021, but this is probably just because of the 2014 rules, the issue we ran into was the executive order to stop all rulemaking. So I'm a little bit scorned for how long it took to get the last rules completed. But we do, the way that the BACB works is that they release their five-year, their fifth-year revisions well in advance. So their 2022 revisions have all been released. I agree that we don't need to do them right now, and let's get to the rule review and all of that. I just want to make sure it's still on the radar. Just because it did take us 4 years to get the last rules done. And so I just want to make sure that we're kind of ahead of that.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, the rule moratorium is still in effect. We would have to seek an exemption to make a rule change. I'm saying 2021, but we'd probably need to start looking at that in summer of 2020. But because, you know, it takes a couple months to get through, you know, the rule process, looking at them first, and then we have to go to the publish, get the exemption, then we have to, you know, prepare them, then we have to go to the public hearing. So, you know, I say 2021, but we'll definitely be working on them before then. But I don't want to say, you know, December of this year we're going to be looking at them. I think it would be, unless we have some immediate changes we need to make, the 2022 rollout, you know, would be a little bit farther down the road by 6 or 8 months.
Perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion about item number 7 in the process for reviewing our rule? Hearing none, let's move on to item number 8, new agenda items for future meetings. We know that one item will be a discussion of the response to Joan's questions that she's going to be sending up, correct?
Yes.
But that pertains to starting the rules revision process. Okay. I'm looking at the minutes from our last meeting, and we did a general session, and we did include a future item with no particular date to discuss ideas for licensed behavior analysts regarding guidelines, best practices, and continuing education opportunities. That came up at the last meeting. Do we want to include that, or do we want to just keep it in mind for a time when we might not have such a long agenda?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, we can certainly put it on the March agenda. I think you're going to have a very lively discussion with the rules at the March agenda, but we can certainly add it.
I don't see any reason to add it, if, and I agree with you, Ms. Jones. I know that we're going to have a lot to discuss. It's one of those things that if I tuck these minutes away, I may not look back at them again. If anybody has a recommendation for how we keep track of these things that we say we're going to discuss in future meetings, but we postpone, I'm all in favor of that.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, staff does keep track of things that have been put on the future agendas. I apologize for not getting it on today's, but I will put it on April's.
Great, and I will trust the process. Thank you. Any other new agenda items for future meetings? Hearing none. And I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second. This is Dr. Reed.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All right. Thank you all for a good meeting. And, see you next time.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye.